So we're going to make this into a YouTube podcast, so we're just going to be recording what we do here and then put it on there because everyone can see it after if they need to or want to. And as well as that, we've been making a blog and like a little online platform that's just off Instagram too. It's called itsourculture.co.uk, and we want to get, like I've spoke to you, Mike, about getting other creatives involved with writing stuff. Like, maybe me personally, I'm always super interested in the journey of others, like how they did it, because everyone's so different. Like, we may get to the same job or the same place on the ladder or whatever, but I'm guarantee everyone's is different, you know. So yeah, and then I just wanted to say thank you to everyone watching, everyone supporting. Like, it's been a bit mad the last month, it's grown a lot, and hopefully we can create this into something really cool. Like, we've got enough people that want to be involved. But yeah, and a lot more to come, definitely a lot more to come. There's a lot planned, like, still seeing where it goes. Anyway, less of that. So, Michael, I just want to tell the people how we know each other. We used to go college together, we lived together at one point. I was actually thinking about that. That's when the London riots happened, and I was talking about, like, cultural history and, like, how it affects art and all that stuff. And remember, we were literally the night it happened out on the town somewhere, I can't remember, and came back the next morning. It was crazy.
My mum came to visit me the day of the riots. I remember we were out, but before we went out, my mum came to visit and she had to go home early because of the riots. It was just
really?
I remember her being there and just being like, this is weird, mate.
Yeah, I'm out. Like, I can remember coming back on the night bus or something and not knowing anything about it until the morning, and it was like, oh my God. But that ties in nicely, because there's a lot of creatives, especially dancers. Like, I'm not too sure, you probably remember the name. It's a girl, and she did a whole piece about the riots, and this was a couple of years ago. But, like, it sparked a whole new cultural, like, artistic thing, you know. People had a reason to create art, to promote a message, and, like, those things in history, whether it be good or bad, you know, not condoning anything or would ever do that, but it definitely sparks something in creatives that are angry or frustrated, you know.
Also, not to get too artsy, but the best art always comes from pain, I think. Anyone that's been through pain, that's where the best art comes from, 100%.
I agree. Pain and understanding, like, understanding what you're trying to do and why you do. Like, you see all, I kind of touched this last week, so I don't want to go into it, but you see all this corporate stuff, and sometimes there's not a link between the art and the message you're trying to say, and it just doesn't fit, you know. You have to understand what you're trying to portray. But yeah, so I've got a little list down here. Yeah, so I just want, I'll pass it over to you. I've been told to speak too much on these, so give over to you. Just tell everyone who you are, what you do. Like, and I, to be fair, I was promoting this as you're a dancer, choreographer, / artistic director, but, like, we haven't spoke regularly in so long. You might have 100 other things under your belt. So this is your, just give a little background.
What do I do? I don't know. I trained the same as you as a dancer, and then I tried to pursue it, but then I got injured. And then I sort of, I just sort of cracked on. I think I always wanted myself to be a choreographer, but then I sort of bottled it as well. And then I sort of fell into random jobs where I ended up being a dancer and choreographer again. So right now I'm unemployed, but I was working on, I was working on a show called Message in a Bottle, where, which is just a dance show, it's dance theatre. It's kind of hip-hop / contemporary theatre, so it's like a hybrid, you could say. It's just a mix of, it's like a melting pot of incredible dancers. I was dance captain on that, so I guess I'm still in some sort of, maybe not creative, but more, I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to keep my head above water, basically. I don't know what the role is, but I'm trying to stay above water. Just a journey through dance, really, through the dance industry. I've sort of ended up doing every aspect of it, in the sense of, like, TV, film, theatre, stadium tours, sort of all the different genres. I've sort of touched my toes in all of it, if that makes sense.
I think that is, for me as well, that's super important. As any art, like, whatever niche of art you're in, it's so important to not just do be a hip-hop dancer or just be like a fashion photographer, you know. You have to go, because I'm the same, you know.
I feel like it's too really it's way too easy to close your doors and just say, I'm just going to do this. But then actually, realistically, one, there's not enough work out there just for that, unless you are like unbelievable. But I've always been, even from college, I think I'm more a jack of all rather than a master of one, if that makes sense. So I sort of just try and do a bit of everything, and then whoever wants to pay me to do it, I'll as long as it's worth it, and as long as it's a decent job, I'm there. Yeah.
Two things I need to say about Michael. One, he's very humble. He's incredible, and he'll never say that. And two, his work ethic is like incredible, which ties into your. I've had it on the list, but we might as well get to it. Like, it ties into your doing multiple skills. You know, like, because for me, I get bored when I do one thing, and I'm like, okay, maybe I can do this, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. And I feel like you're the same. But even in college, like, we weren't good when we started college 10 years ago. I was looking back, and it was like, you'd never really done any jazz or anything, and I'd never done half the stuff they were doing. And then by the time we'd left, we were like all rounders, because we'd worked so hard. I mean, I don't work as hard as I used to back then.
Apart from tap, I bailed tap. I'm gutted, mate, I proper bailed tap. I gave up on tap, and I'm so gutted.
Yeah, I say that all the time. Yeah, you've got house, that's similar.
Yeah. Well, everyone always thinks I'll be able to do it. I'm shocking at tap, mate.
Shocking at tap.
Yeah. I can do the rhythm. It's like making a feel.
Yeah. But yeah, I think training, for me, training in different styles is important, just because, like, you might as well... I think the best dancers you can tell have learned a bit of everything. Like, you can tell when someone's just a fashion dancer and they've just learned one thing because it's in fashion. But someone that can go into every room and bang each one out, I think that's... I'm definitely not quite there yet, but I'm trying to get there, you know what I mean?
Well, it's being confident as well, isn't it? Like, I speak to people and they shy away for stuff, where I've always been, throw me in the deep end and then we'll figure it out after.
Yeah.
But just going back a bit to the message in the bottle you're doing... So that is it Sting it's about, right?
Yeah, it's actually about refugees. It's based on the sort of refugee crisis and a journey of people that are taking the plunge to sort of cross the borders and make a new life for themselves and their journey. It's Sting's music, and actually Sting's music is incredible for it. And also, Beverly Knight sings like four or five of the songs, and she's unbelievable. So
with that, sorry, I'm just trying to pin this thing. It always takes me about five tries. We're back. So with that, like, obviously you're in it. So are you dancing in it, or are you...
Dancing in it. No, I'm dancing in it, same as everyone else. Yeah, there's 21 cast members, and there's 16 on stage at any time, and we sort of alternate between who goes on and who goes off, so... Yeah, man.
Crazy. Yeah. And I haven't actually seen it, like, I'm gonna when all this is over. But I do know people in it, like yourself. I think Jai's in it.
Jai's insane.
Yeah, ridiculous. Like, Lucas, I don't know how he's involved, but I know he's involved. Like, all these people, including yourself, are absolute masters at what they do. Like, if you go on Jai's Instagram, you're just like, bloody hell, he's edited that, surely. He's flying about, you know. So how is it work? Because whenever I've worked with people where they've been, like, fully creative, like, you know, the real artist types where they live for it, and it's so inspirational for me, because sometimes I have to take a step back and I'm like, well, I'm going too far into all this stuff. And then when you're immersed in all these crazy people, like yourself included, but, like, from different lifestyles and upbringings and all that, like, just a little bit about how that was.
It's mad, mate. I remember the audition. I remember being in the audition just being like, this is the best room of dancers I've ever seen. I was like, this is mind-blowing. And then when we started work, like, everyone... And also, you know what you said about me training all the time and stuff? Everyone has the same sort of ethic. Everyone just wants to train. So, like... As soon as people go on break or it's the end of the day, there's someone just like, there's always a break dancer spinning on his head or trying some new moves. Like, there's always something to learn off someone.
Is that Aaron, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Aaron's in it. Aaron's an idiot, mate. He's a funny guy, mate. But yeah, it's a nice vibe, actually. And because everyone's quite artistic, like, everyone's on a level where you can talk to people. Like I said, I've never been a job where I could just sit down and have a coffee with any one of them. and 2 hours later I'd be sweet. Like, yeah, it's nice, man.
It's nice, man.
Sick. And it goes further than just dance as well for me. Like, then you learn so much more about the art, your art, your creativity and all that. So this touches on two things. Like, so I want to talk a bit about your injury. Like, obviously this doesn't define you at all, but it is interesting because you, I don't know where it happened, but you did it on a job, I think, and then you had ended up having an operation, and now you've come through it and you're still bloody at the top of the game. So, like, for people that it might not be an injury, it might be a setback of other sorts, that is like so debilitating. It's such a nice thing to hear a story of people like doing good stuff, and that links in with your work why can't I say this word, work ethic. Because if you were lazy, you could have probably gone, okay, I give up now, like, I'm done. You did enough before that.
I've had two surgeries on my left knee. The first one was just a meniscus, and I did it in the graduation shows. I did it when I was in Intoto in third year. And then I had like a year out after that where I won't lie, I was pretty depressed through some of it. But like, I always knew that I wanted to get back to dancing, so I just sort of tried to power through. And then I had another injury. I started a show in the West End called Bat Out of Hell, and it was going pretty sweet, and I was the featured dancer. So I just got to dance. Like, I didn't have to sing, didn't have to do nothing, just got to dance and do what I wanted on stage. It was so sweet. And then I went traveling and I tore my ACL and my meniscus on a motorbike because I'm an idiot. And then because of that, they managed to sort of bump me up in my... I'd been dance captain at the time, and I ended up as resident and then associate choreographer. So I was looking after the show while I was healing. So for me, I was lucky because I was still employed while I was like trying to get back to, so it allowed me to like spend time to do my rehab, and I just had to try and power through. But I would say for injuries, they're rough, mate. They're rough. Like, they put you, it's like a new mental, it's kind of like this in a way, not like, it's not the same, but corona, in the sense of you're just locked in a house. Like, I couldn't move for like 6 weeks, so you're just locked in a house and you just have to keep your head above water. And it's just about keeping your, like, for anyone listening or watching to this, just keep driving, like, keep pushing. And if you don't want to go on the exercise bike that day because your knee hurts, like, if you know you need to, do it. You know what I mean? Like, put the extra minutes in and it's sweet.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, especially knee injuries for dancers. I know so many people who've had pretty much the exact same thing, you know.
Mate, everyone's had this. I mean, Lucas has had 4 surgeries on his knee.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And
he's a beast, mate, and he does the maddest things. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think with that stuff, like, touch wood, I haven't actually been injured that well. I don't know.
I have no idea how, mate, because you used to throw your body everywhere.
I know, yeah. Like, we used to trick on solid concrete pretty much in college. Like, don't know how we got through that one. But yeah, like, it shows the work ethic, and obviously you two have both got that thing to get through. And I think it is so important to get through because it is so obvious, like, you can do... You hear all these crazy stories about someone who's had their arm chopped off and then they end up doing the next mad thing.
The best... I don't know if you've seen... Not to sidetrack, but I don't know if you've seen the documentary yet, but the best female surfer in the world has one arm. Have you seen it yet? It's I don't know why you laugh at that. But the best female surfer in the world, she's got one arm. She got bitten off by a shark and she's unbelievable, mate. But yeah, it's exactly that. It's like it makes you push further in a way, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, going back to the first thing you said, like, it adds to your art, it adds to your person, you become a different person.
Do you know what I would say is because it limited me from doing quite a lot of stuff, so I couldn't do certain moves and flips and whatever else. I had to focus on other shit, and because I had to focus on other stuff, that allowed me to like create new art and new crafts that I maybe wouldn't have had before, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. And actually, that perfectly links into my next question. So, look at that. We are so alike. But me personally, I've been getting back onto stuff that I used to do and picking new things up. Like, and I think it's beautiful to have... We've spoke about this slightly again on one of these, but it's lovely to have this time. Like, obviously, it's a crisis and it's a very serious matter, but on the other hand, for our well-beings, I'm actually really using this time to do new things, like go back to skating that I've been doing, like pick up some music again, all that stuff. So I was just, my question is, what have you been doing in lockdown, and have you been revisiting anything, or have you been like starting up a new venture? Like, what's your thing?
To be honest, lockdown's been a bit wild for us, in the sense of like, well, basically we're trying to buy a house at the moment, and that's sort of consuming us a bit. I know, trying to be an adult, mate, it's a lot. And we're just basically, me and Colette, my partner's called Colette, and she's a lovely lady. And we didn't really get much time together before lockdown, because we were always working separate hours, because she like different hours and stuff. So actually, I've spent most of my time just focusing on enjoying her company. But craft-wise, like working on myself, I've been training far too much. Like, I've been dancing. I've been dancing a lot, because there's anything that keeps me sane. I've been doing something called macrame. I don't know what it's called, but it's basically knitting. I don't know how to put it. It's like you tie knots with your bare hands, with your good hands, and you make them into nice designs, and it's like beautiful craft sort of thing. And I've just been...
Oh, wait, that's the hanging basket stuff.
Yeah.
Right, me and my girlfriend have been wanting to try that. My ex-housemate used to make them. They look so sick.
Yeah, mate, it's so therapeutic, because you just spend like 2 hours tying knots and you don't think about anything else.
I picked up, when I was at home, my dad got me a Stanley knife, and I was just started whittling like wood, you know, and ended up making two hair pieces, one for me and my mum, and I made my girlfriend a wand, and it was the same thing. Like, it's completely pointless exercise, but you get something out of it, and 4 hours go, and you're like, oh, that was great. So on the flip side of like being super productive, you can also like, you can do these random things that take half the day.
That is the bliss thing about Corona, is you don't feel guilty for spending 3 hours like just trying to edit a video of you falling into a swimming pool. Like, you just, like, you don't, like, no one cares, you know what I mean? Like, you can spend the time.
You don't have to do that, yeah. It's lovely as well, I love it. Cool, right, I've got one more question, then we're going to ask if you've got any more questions, or if anyone wants to ask a question in the comments, ask away. My eyesight is so bad. Can we have a demonstration? Go on then. Go on, Mike. Sorry. Back on track, what am I saying? So just lastly, like, this is kind of what we want to do in the blog, like, talk to creatives that are already doing it, because, like, we both have so many different people we know who are just incredible in their own form. So I really want to use that and, like, put that out, because again, I just love the stories of people, and they're all so different. Anyway, so this is what we're going to be touching on in the blog post, but I just wanted you to give like a bit of your inspirations, whether it be a person or an object or a place, like where you draw things from, because you're obviously highly creative. So where do you get that from?
Do you know what it is? Yeah, and I think this is a nice thing about all of us, is we've been blessed to have creative friends. So like, the people around us are super inspiring, and I think coming from shitty little Bedford, it's nice to come to the big city and just be surrounded by people that you're like, I need to learn what you're doing, or I need to find out how you did that, or learn from, you know what I mean? So I'm inspired by a lot of people around me. I'm inspired by nature. I would say I'm a big nature head. Maybe I wasn't always, but I've definitely found that recently, that if I can get outdoors with a bit of sunshine and a breeze, I feel like I can achieve a lot more than I can if I'm stuck indoors, which is ironic. But yeah, I think, and inspiration-wise, I don't know. Yeah, I think just people along the journey, if that makes sense. Like, teachers along the journey, friends along the journey, and just trying to pluck out different people's arts and just make it themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I see that in you. And I know the people you're around do it a lot, because I've worked with Aaron. I completely slipped my mind before, but he's another one of those people that he'll just sit back and then he'll watch people do something and then he'll just go and do it. And that's just another string to his bow. So when, again, going back to what you're saying, on those jobs you're doing now, when you're in those environments, like, it's literally just knowledge being thrown left and right, isn't it? So, yeah, sick.
He's a funny one, mate. He's... on message, like, every time I'd do a step, he'd like come over to me and be like, yo, what's that step, or like, he'd pick up different like three or four things from me a day and exchange. It was nice, actually.
Oh, that's biceps.
Yeah, man, he's so creative too. Like, he'd be in a room and he'd just come up with the craziest things, and then they would work half the time, and half the time he'd be like, bloody hell, but, you know, that's how you get good stuff. Wicked, yeah, nice. I mean, I touched on my inspirations last week, so I won't repeat them. But yeah, just finishing off, so obviously this isn't like we're talking to you at the start of your journey whatsoever. You've done it for 10 years, you've been out of college for what, like 8, I think? Bloody hell. So I feel like it was a lifetime ago, from the person I was then to now.
Next level.
So you've obviously done all that, you've bought the t-shirt, you're at the top, you're like, you've done a lot, yeah? So what can you see into the future? what can you see yourself doing in the future? Like, do you want to stick with dance? Like, I guess it's going to be still in the arts. I don't know. Can't imagine you becoming a banker anytime
soon. Nah, mate, nah, no way. That's a weird question with me. It's a bit of a crossroads I'm at the moment. I'm in a place where I'm like, I don't know where I see myself. I see myself in nature, which is, I don't know how that ties in with dance. But I see myself trying to be self-sufficient at some point in my life. And I see myself hopefully like creating still in time to come, and maybe going towards teaching in the next sort of like 5-6 years, just because my body's not going to last forever. And I do enjoy teaching, to be fair.
Yeah, wicked. Cool. I just had a thing off that, but I can't remember it. All right, wicked, man. Do you have any questions, any topics you wanted to pull up? I don't know.
How are you, mate? How are you? Mate, you're smashing it.
We had loads of insight there. Just opening it out quickly to anyone who's watching, like, if you've got any questions for me or Mike. So we'll just see that. But yeah, it's good to chat to you, man. Honestly, like, we'll just end off a bit. But it's so good because I feel like this time I'm taking it to reach out to other people that, like, I haven't spoke to. We used to live together, you know. We used to bloody be inseparable.
Yeah, I was going to say, I also...
Change, you know.
I find it weird that I don't find it weird. I think it's, like, again, quite inspiring. We started, like, to me and you basically started our journey together. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I came to London, that was, like, the start of, like, who am I? I think it's been a long road, and I'm still sort of discovering it as we go, but you know what I mean? But it's been nice to see how we've both, well, especially to see how you've developed and the path you've gone down. And you've sort of, I think you've always been this person, but you've always, like, it's nice that you've just finally embraced how creative you are instead of trying to fit someone else's mold. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree, mate. Yeah. You've literally nailed it. Like, going from High Elm, we used to live in halls together in High Elm. Like, we used to set the fire alarm off at 3 a.m, bloody hell. But, like, going from there where we were literally children, you know, I had no idea what I was doing, who I was, like, what this big city was, and coming up to here. But, yeah, like you said, we started together, we spent the first 2 years dancing, and then we separated, really, not in a bad way. It was just quite nice, like, you were doing your thing, we were in different companies at that point. And, like, I don't think we've even worked together, which is quite actually lovely, because obviously we've been coming from the start, going polar opposites. It just shows you can, that's what I'm saying. With the people's journeys, like, it's so different and end up in similar ways, you know, it's crazy.
Well, I think that as long as you've got the right mind frame, like, it's the same for you. As long as you've got a right mind frame where you want to keep going and do what you love, then you're always going to keep, you know what I mean? You're always going to find the right path and end up in the right destination for yourself. You know what I mean? That's my wanky arty stuff.
And on that, we finish. Right, cool. I'm just going to do a little outro. So, Michael, thank you so much. We're going to be doing this every Sunday, like, hopefully getting people in, because I come from a background of dancers mainly. Obviously, that's what I've been doing for the past X amount. But I really want to try and get new people in that aren't dancers, and maybe get people that aren't me. Like, so I don't have to do it every week, and get the friends of people that we may not know, you know, just to chat to each other and get their side of it. Because if I keep asking it. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. So I just want to say a huge thank you, Mike. We're going to be back next Sunday, 2 p.m. on It's Our Culture. Give us a follow and we'll see where we go. This is going to snowball into something good, I think. So thank you so much for being a part of it. All right, brother. I'll see you soon. Love. Have a great, great, great Sunday.
Oh,
see ya, bro.
You too, mate.
Bye, mate. Bye.